Okay, hopefully now everybody's still on. Good. So we are holding on Sadiq Bald on the base, five lines from the bottom. We talked yesterday about the Mekoshish 18. At the end of Parsha Shlach, next week's Parsha, the Torah tells us how there was a person who was Mekoshish 18 on Shabbos, and they knew that he's Chayv Misa, but they weren't sure exactly what Misa, and Hashem tells Moshe that he's Chayv Skila, and they go and do that. So we discussed yesterday the question, which Malacha did he do? We had three possibilities. Either he was carrying four amos in the Shusar Abim, or he was uprooting the plants from the ground, or he was gathering them, bundling them together, each of which is a separate Av Malacha. So now let's talk a little more about the Mekoshish. Mekoshish Zet Tzlochad. The Mekoshish is none other than Tzlochad. Later on, you have his daughters come and say to Moshe and to Aaron, and then this is after Aaron passed away, but to Moshe and Elazar and the Skenim, that our father passed away in the Midbar. He wasn't part of Adas Kodach or whatever. He passed away because of his own Avera. So we're learning over here, this is Rabbi Akiva talking, that this Avera of his own that he did, for which he ended up dying in the Midbar, that this was Tzlochad, that he was the Mekoshish. You have, the Pasuk introduces it by saying the Jewish people were in the desert and they found a man gathering sticks. So it says the word Bamidbar. Later on, when Bnei Tzlochad come with their arguments to Moshe, they start by saying, our father died in the desert. So therefore, Malahalan Tzlochad, Afkan Tzlochad, give Rabbi Akiva. So Rabbi Akiva says there is a connection, that it was Tzlochad. On the Lord of Yehuda ben Beseira, Akiva, Ben Kach or Ben Kach, Ata Osid Litin Esadim. The Yehuda ben Beseira says, there's something wrong with what you're saying, Rabbi Akiva. And either way, you're going to be held to account for it. You're going to be held guilty in the Beis Din Shamayla for saying this for either way. In Kidvarecha, if what you're saying is right and it really was Tzlochad, Atoda Kisasa, look at that. The Toda hid it. The Toda didn't want us to know what Aveda Tzlochad did. The Toda was content to tell us just that he did an Aveda, but not which one. The Akim of Galoi, saying you're revealing it, so you're embarrassing the poor guy. The Im Lav, and if not, and if he wasn't the Mekoshish, Atam Moti Laz, or Oisit Tzadik, then you're saying, well, you're saying something false about that Tzadik. Meaning, okay, he did some kind of Aveira, sure, because it says Bechet Emet, but not necessarily such a serious Aveira as breaking Shabbos, which is the Chiv Skila, after all, which shows that it's a very, very serious Aveira.
On the other hand, the reason why he did it.
So now, what Tosfos mentions in Baba Basra, that tack of why did he do it, Tosfos brings over there that actually he was doing it L'Shem Shamayim, namely, that now there's two opinions when the story of the Mekoshish Eitzim happened. Rashi on the Pasuk just mentioned the one opinion that it happened before Matan Torah, even that the expression Rashi uses is that the gnai of the Jewish people that they only kept one Shabbos after the money was given, and the next Shabbos already this guy broke it. So that's one opinion, but then there's a different opinion that the Gemara mentions that it actually happened after that. The Medrash mentions whatever that it was actually after the story of the Meraglim, and in that case, it's placed in its chronological order in the Pasuk. You have it at the end of Parashat Shlach after the story of the Meraglim. So Tosfos over there in Baba Basra learns that way. What happened was after the whole story of the Meraglim, and they're told that they're going to be staying in the desert for 40 years, etc. So some people were ready to give up. You know, forget about it. Why should we have to keep mitzvahs anymore? Anyway, Hashem rejected us and has left us to wander in the desert for 40 years. So according to that, this guy, Tzlochad, was saying now, deliberately went and broke Shabbos with the intention of that he will get caught. We have to remember, to get caught and get mitzvah is not just such a simple thing. They have to give you asura, you have to accept it, you have to do it to the dibra. I mean, it would have been very easy for him to avoid a chiyuv mitzvah. But he deliberately, Tosfos says, like you were saying, in order to demonstrate to the people that, yes, mitzvahs are still very much in effect, and we have to keep Shabbos and all the other mitzvahs.
And that given time was a bunch of buckets that they gave about mitzvahs left right after he came. His point was, you see, if you're over the mitzvahs, it's what happens.
Well, I mean, you do have in the section earlier before that in Parashat Shlach, you have several mitzvahs, I mean, you have. There is a certain connection because the right, the one right before that is Avodah Zarah, and the connection is actually mentioned on the Pasuk over there that Shabbos is the equivalent of Avodah Zarah. But yeah, so specifically he chose to do that, which, by the way, then Marsha points out, in that case it comes out it was a Malacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. Really, he shouldn't be Chayav Mitzvah for it because he wasn't doing it for the sake of the Malacha itself. He was doing it in order to make a point. However, the Beis Din Shalmata can't know his intentions. Hashem can know his intentions, but the Beis Din Shalmata has to judge according to what they see, and they saw that he actually did it and accepted the Hasra and so on and so forth. Okay, so anyway, so yes, the one explanation is that Rabbi Akiva doesn't mind saying it because he holds, like Tosfos, that he was doing it L'shem Shemayim. So in that case, then it's not a slur against him, it's not a gnai against him to say that he did it. Okay. Hello. Oh, good morning. Welcome back.
Makoshi's the Makalu were at the same time.
What? The Makoshi's and the Makalu were at the same time. There's such an opinion. Yeah, the Gemara mentions over there that they were at the same time. So one of them, what is it, the Makoshish, the Makalo, they knew that he's Chayiv Mitzah, but they didn't know what. The Makoshish ate it, or maybe the other way around. I think the Makalo, they didn't even know whether he's Chayiv Mitzah, and Hashem told them he's Chayiv Mitzah, he's Chayiv Skila, and the Makoshish, they knew he's Chayiv Mitzah, but they didn't know which Mitzah, yeah. Because they didn't know which Mitzah each one is, and you don't put people who are Chayiv different Mitzahs together.
Because
otherwise you may mix them up or whatever. All right, anyway, let's go on, yeah. Okay, so the question is, so why is Rabbi Huda ben Beseira, he's saying to Rabbi Akiva, there's something wrong in what you're saying either way. The Elohog Gomag Zer, he's saying one possibility is the Torah concealed it and you're revealing it. What do you mean the Torah concealed it? The Elohog Gomag Zer Shava. Rabbi Akiva has Zer Shava for it from the word Bamidbar. A Zer Shava is as good as the Torah saying it outright. So therefore, what do you mean the Torah hid it? The Torah gives us the Gzera Shava to tell us that it was Tzlafad. The answer is Gzera Shava Lagomar. The answer is Rabbi Huda ben Beseira had not learned that Gzera Shava from his Rebbe. So therefore, as far as he's concerned, it's not a valid Gzera Shava. Tosfos says, so why can't he just learn the Gzera Shava from Rabbi Akiva? So Tosfos says over here, Yisod, which comes up in a lot of places in Shas, when we have different Chachamim arguing about whether we accept a certain Gzera Shava or not, Tosfos says, they had each Chacham learned from his Rebbeim a certain number of Zera Shavas that there are in the Torah. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira already had all his slots of Zera Shavas filled up. So therefore, he doesn't have another one available for this one. And therefore, therefore, as far as he's concerned, this isn't a valid Zera Shava because he doesn't have room for it, whereas Rabbi Akiva did. On the side of it here, it brings from the Aruch a different explanation, which is that when we say Gzera Shava Lagomir, Rabbi Akiva had not learned this Gzera Shava from his Rebbein. Rabbi Akiva learned on his own that the Makoshish is Tzlafchad, and then he found a Gzera Shava that will support that. You're allowed to do that, by the way. There's some place where it says that a person can't come up with his own Gzera Shava, but that's where he wants to come up with a new Halacha or something. If he already knows something that he learned, a Halacha or whatever, in this case an Agadza, that he learned the Kabbalah from his Rebbein, and he wants to come up with a Gzera Shava to support it, then he's able to do that. So Rabbi Akiva is doing that, and Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira is calling him out on it and saying you shouldn't do that.
According to that, does Akiva have a flexible amount of Gzera Shavas?
No, it would mean there's a certain number of Gzera Shavas that you actually learn the halachas from, and then you have, in addition, there can be sort of voluntary Gzera Shavas that you're just using, where you're not using them to derive the halacha, but rather to give like an asmasa for it, kind of. Yeah. So the question is, Elam Heichahava, okay, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, what was Tzlafchad Avera? Now, the Gemara wants to assume that it was some kind of known Avera. It's not just, the Pasuk says, B'chet Emes, but obviously the Torah wants us to know there was some particular Avera, which we know from someplace else that he did. It wasn't Adach Torah, they say so specifically, and it wasn't the Meraglim, same thing, so what was it? Mi Vayapilhava. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira learns that he was one of the Mapilim. You have after the Meraglim, you have Moshe tells them in Hashem's name that's it. Hashem is leaving you in the desert for 40 years. Your children will go into Eretz Yisrael. You're going to die in the desert. What does the Pasuk say? The next morning, a bunch of people started trying to go up to the mountain down the border of Eretz Yisrael, saying, we're going to storm into Eretz Yisrael and we're going to conquer it, like Hashem says. And Moshe warns them, don't. And they go anyway, and the Amalekim and Canaan defeat them. So according to that, Tzlafchad was one of these people. It's not as bad as the Chet and Makoshish, especially because, I mean, in a way, they were doing it, like they're saying, okay, Hashem, you kicked us out of Eretz Yisrael, but we're not going to accept that Zeta. We're still going to storm and demand that we Alberich like Loma Nigara almost. But so it was wrong of them because Moshe warned them not to. But still, it was based on
The people got killed anyway. How did
he survive? No, he got killed. That's the point.
Oh,
Yeah, that's the thing. By the way, the Baal HaTorah points out the word Vayapilu is the same gematria as plus one. Okay.
But as a matter of fact, the Kodesh H, he's doing actually something in Shabbos, where he's just, he just went against the word, which, okay.
Either way, you don't measure, but let's go on. We have a lot of ground to cover. Kayesa Badavra Ata Oyna. We have a similar kind of argument between Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira and Rabbi Akiva as far as another story in Torah. This one is in this week's parasha. The pasuk says, you have the story over there where Miriam spoke Lashon Hara against Moshe, and Hashem called Miriam and Aaron together, and he gives them a whole speech about how you have to understand that Moshe is not like any other Navi, he's on a much higher level, which you guys don't realize. And then the pasuk says, Vayichar af Hashem bum vayelach. Hashem's anger flared against them, and he left. What does that mean? Hashem's anger flared against them, in the plural, means Malamachat, Aaron and Sada, did Rebbe Akiva. It means that Aaron also got Sada, says Rebbe Akiva. So that's the bum, that both of them, Hashem was angry at them, and they both got Sada. And again, the same thing, Amalei Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, Akiva, Ben Kach, or Ben Kach, after Asalitin Asedin, whether you're right or whether you're wrong, you're still going to be held to account for this in front of the Beis Din Shamayla. In Kidvarecha, if you're right that Aaron got Sarah, the fact is the Torah covered it up because it didn't explicitly tell us that Aaron got Sarah the way it tells us about Miriam. But after Megala, and you're revealing it, so you're embarrassing Aaron. Being lab, and if not, that's a moifi laz, always a tzaddik. And you're saying laz, you're saying something derogatory about that tzaddik, Aaron, that he got Sarah when really he didn't. So the question is, according to the Behodim and Vaseira of Elo Haksiv Bum, okay, what about the word bum? The answer is, he would say, Ahobin is Zifa Ba'alma. That means, okay, it means Hashem was angry at Aaron, it means Hashem yelled at Aaron, but not necessarily that actually had an effect at the moment that he got Sarah. There is, by the way, there's an expression the Gemara has elsewhere that you have whenever it says Charoin Af, it always of Hashem, it always leaves a mark. So the Rebbe Akiva can be going according to that. Therefore, if it says Vayichar Af Hashem Bum, it must mean that there was some kind of mark of it, namely Tzaraas. Whereas the Rebbe Akiva doesn't agree with that. First of all, Tanya Tamanda Omar Af Aaron Tzara. We learn a brighter, like the opinion of Rabbi Akiva that says that also Aaron got Saras. You can Aaron on Miriam, behinim at Saras, that Aaron turned to Miriam and found that she had Saras, Tana, and what does it mean by Yifan? That he turned, Shapona mitzaras, that he turned from his Saras, that he did in fact get Saras, but then it went away faster. Now, why is that? Because Miriam is the one who started the whole thing. He went along with it. He listened, and he listened and accepted it, which is not right, but Miriam is the one who started it. It was Makabal Lashon Hara where she initiated Lashon Hara, right? By the way, the famous line that Amnon says at the end of Hilchos Tumas Saraf, that look at this. I mean, she was like a mother to him. She helped raise him. She wasn't even doing it. She didn't even mean anything bad against him because she didn't realize that his nevuah is on a higher level than everybody else's, and she thought he's doing something wrong by separating from his wife. And you still see how severely Hashem punished her. Kavach Haimer, people who just speak Lashon Hara willy-nilly. Okay. Another one, Amar Ishlok, speaking of Tzaraas, Amar Ishlok is HaChosh B'Tzedem Loitu B'Gufay. If a person suspects people who are really innocent of something, he ends up getting punished on his own body. Meaning, usually you have, when Hashem punishes a person, he usually starts with Nechosin first. Speaking of Tzaraas, we have, for example, a person usually first gets Tzaraas on their house and then their clothing and so forth. But if a person is Choshe B'Tzedem, then he gets it first. The Maral has an idea that it's like if you throw a rock against a wall. If the wall has no niche for the rock to go into, which is like the person not actually being guilty of what you're accusing them of, what happens? The rock bounces right back at you. So the same thing, the chshad that he does on somebody else bounces right back on him. Dichtiv, as we find by Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, "V'hein lo yaminu b'Yigomer." He says to Hashem in Parshas Shmos, "If you're sending me to the Jewish people, but they're not going to listen, they're not going to believe me, etc." V'gal yakana kol shebrichu b'mehein liYisrael. Now Hashem knows good and well that the Jewish people will believe Moshe. So therefore, Amaloi, Hashem tells him, Hein ma'aminim b'nei ma'aminim. Listen to this. These Jewish people are believers and they're the sons of believers. But Asa ain't so kalahamin, whereas you, in the end, we're going to see that there's a level on which you don't believe as much as you should. Hein ma'aminim, they themselves are believers if ayamin am. Later on, when Moshe goes and speaks to them, sure enough, it says the people believe him. B'nei ma'aminim, because we find earlier by Avraham Avinu v'hem in Bashem, that Hashem promises Avraham that he's going to have children and they're going to inherit out Israel, etc. And Avraham believes Hashem. After Ein Tzoy Kalahamin, whereas Hashem is telling Moshe, you're going to end up, we're going to see that you're not going to believe as fully as you should. Shenema Yan Lehemantim, what happens by Mei Meriva? Hashem tells Moshe and Aaron, because you didn't believe in me, then therefore you're not going into Eretz Yisrael. What the Aveda was, of course, you have many, many different explanations, but the Pasuk is characterizing it as a certain degree of a bedakos, at least a lack of belief in Hashem.
I don't know,
well, Moshe said it, Moshe said it, or hit the rock or whatever, and Aaron went along with it, so again. So that happened, yeah. Now, where do we see, by the way, so where do we see that Moshe actually was harmed on his own body when he spoke, when he was choshed to share him on the Jewish people? Just give, because Hashem tells him, okay, I'm going to give you some signs, which you're going to be able to show to the Jewish people. And one of them is, Hashem tells him, put your hand in your bosom into a fold of your clothing, and he takes it out and it's covered with tzaras. So that was the lock of a gufay. That was that he was punished on his own body for speaking Lashon Hara against the Jewish people. In fact, Rashi mentions on the pasuk over there, that itself will be a powerful sign to the Jewish people that they'll realize that they know already that people who start up with the Jewish people get harmed. So when they see, when you show them your hand is covered with tzaras, they'll realize already that Hashem really sent you and that you spoke Lashon Hara against them and so forth.
Even Moshe Rabbeinu,
yeah. By the way, returning to the Mekoshish a second, there's a lot of interesting explanations in Chassidus about the Pnimius Yanim, what he was doing over there. I wish we had time to go through it in detail. There's something the Zohar says that Mekoshish ate him. It's like he's trying to compare the Eitz Chaim and the Eitz Adas. And there's Maimorim and the Kodesh Torah and from the Rebbe that explain what that means exactly. There's the fact that he was doing L'Shem Shemayim. There's a Maimor where the Rebbe talks about that the Eitz Adas represents Avoda. In a defined way, just this and no more, and that causes that there can also be negative forces come from it. That Eitz HaChaim represents an avodah l'mayla l'tam b'das. He was trying to separate the two of them and to say that the Eitz HaDas is higher, and therefore you only need an avodah b'midida v'agbala. From that comes out our actual Chilul Shabbos, and therefore you have to be chayav mitzvah. Omar Rav, he came out of Yosef of Chanina, midah tovah maheres lovim midas poranus. When Hashem gives good, it comes faster than puranus, faster than the punishment does. The Maharal explains because Hashem teva tovah hesiv, the good comes, so to speak, from Hashem's essential nature, so therefore it comes first, as opposed to puranus, so to speak. Hashem doesn't want to, and therefore it's like delayed in coming. Also, there's the idea this way it gives the person more chance to do tshuva, and well, that's also more, it's also many times more, that's true. The Ilu B'minas Puranus Siv, because also with the story with Moshe and the Saras on his hand, when it comes to Puranus Siv, Vayetzia, he took his hand out of his bosom, V'hine Yodem Mitzaras Kasholig, and behold, his hand was Mitzara, like snow, meaning only when he took it out was it covered with Saras. The Ilu B'midah Tova Siv, but then when you have by the Midah Tova, it says, Vayetzia Mechefe, Hashem tells him, put your hand back in, and Saras will go away. Vayetzia Mechefe, he took it out of his bosom. Vehine Shava Kivsarai, it doesn't say Vayoshav Kivsarai, which means right now it turned back to the color of normal flesh. Vehine Shava, behold, it had already turned Kivsarai, like his regular flesh, meaning Mechefe who the Shava Kivsarai, already while it was still stuck into his pocket or his fold of his clothing or whatever, already then the Saras went away. So we see that the Midah Tova comes faster.
They couldn't tell you that they had thrust.
No. So that what it is, Hashem tells them, put your hand in, take it out, and as soon as you take it out, it will be covered with saras. Then he tells them, put your hand in, and as soon as he puts his hand in, the saras goes away even before he pulls it out.
This only happened at that time.
So it happened at that time when Hashem is speaking with him. But Pashtus, it also happened when he showed it to the Jewish people. The point is, that shows that Midah Tova, the healing of saras, comes faster than the koronis, the affliction of saras. Yeah. Okay. Another one of the signs that Hashem told Moshe to show is where his stick is going to swallow up the sticks of the magicians over there. So the pasuk says, "Vayivla mate Aaron es matos." Some that Aaron's stick swallowed up those sticks. Amar Rabbi Elazar, nest beseich nest. This was a nest inside a nest, because not that when it would have been a nest already. That when it was a snake, it swallowed all the other sticks. And now the greater nest that it turned back into a stick, and then it swallowed the other ones. Okay. Now back to halacha. We said in the Mishnah, we said if a person throws something from one Rishus Yachid to another, through Rishus Rabin, we said, so passes over Rishus Rabin, Rabbi Akiva says he's chayiv, Chacham says he's potter. So, we have two ways of understanding the machlokes. Boy Rabbah. L'mata me'asot pligi, is it that they're arguing where the, is it that they're arguing when he threw it and it was below 10 tefachim in Rosh Hashanah? So he threw it, it was a very shallow throw, and it just went, you know, it was below 10 tefachim the whole time, which below 10 tefachim is still Rosh Hashanah. And in that case of aha pligi, then the machloikas would be as follows. Rabbi Akiva would hold that when it's in the airspace of Rosh Hashanah, it's as though it was grabbed there in Rosh Hashanah. So it's as if it landed in Rosh Hashanah and then took off again, so therefore he transferred from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, and again from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. Later on, the Gemara is even going to bring up the possibility, according to Rabbi Yehuda, at least, that maybe he should be chayav two chatois, because it was two different malachas. According to Rabbi Akiva, no, because we said, because after all, even if you're going to say it was two separate malachas, it's an av and a tolda, and you can't, you're not chayav for a tolda separately where there's an av, but anyway, the point is that so Rabbi Akiva would hold that it's considered as though it stopped in Rosh Hashanah and then took off again, whereas the chachamim hold that not. Therefore, he'd be potter, because it never landed in Rosh Hashanah, so you never had an akira or a hanacha there. But, continues Rabbah, in that case, it would come out that if it was higher than 10 tefachim, if it went over Rosh Hashanah above 10 tefachim, then everybody would agree it's potter, in which case, we would say, we're not learning the dinim of Zorik, of throwing from Moshe, from handing. We learned in the Mishnah yesterday that you can have, for example, two porches on the same side of the street, where you have, we said over there, if a person hands something from one porch to the other over Rosh Hashanah, then he's chayev, because that's how they did it in the Mishkan, where they're loading up the wagon. They take one board and then pass it over to the next wagon. And that's, in effect, on the same side of the street. It was above 10 tefachim. In fact, Tosfos at the beginning of the Masechta brings up the question, would we say then that Moshe is chayev, whether it's above or below 10 tefachim, or maybe Taka only over above 10 tefachim, because that's the way they did it in the Mishkan. Maybe Moshe below 10 tefachim should be potter. And Tosfos leaves the question open. But anyway, the point is, Moshe is definitely chayev, even though it's higher than 10 tefachim, even though above 10 tefachim is makom p'tur, because we see that that's how it was done in the Mishkan. But in that case, we would say throwing is different. If you throw something over Rosh Hashanah above 10 tefachim, then you would be potter, according to everybody. That's one way of understanding Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim talk like this. Oy Dilma, or maybe the other way around. L'mayla ma'asot pligi. Maybe they're arguing where you threw it and it went above 10 tefachim, over ha pligi. So then the machloikas is as follows. The marasava yafinin zodik mi Moshe. And Rabbi Akiva is going to say that we're going to learn Zorik from Moshe. So just like Moshe is chayav, even though it's above 10 tefachim, the same way Zorik will also be chayav. We're going to say that's an exception to the rules that above 10 tefachim is makom p'tur. Umar Sova lo yafin in Zorik from Moshe, whereas the Chachamim are going to say that not. Aval l'matam yud devei hakol chayav, but if it's below 10 tefachim, everybody would agree it's chayav. My time of kluta kamasha huncha damya, because then we would say kluta kamasha huncha. The fact that it went within 10 tefachim of the ground makes it as if it actually landed, and that means it actually landed in Rosh Hashanah, and now therefore you have a hitzah from one Rosh Hashanah to another. So which is it? What's the correct way of learning their machalikas?
You said that that's how it's done in Mishkan, for sure, everyone should read it, the Maya should be covered.
Because they didn't do Zerudith in the Mishkan. Remember, we said in the Mishnah they didn't throw the boards because they were heavy or because it wouldn't be respectful because they were objects of Kedusha. So therefore, so that's the question. So one way of looking at it is that maybe Moshe and Zerudith have different rules. Moshe would be higher above 10 tefachim. Zerudith would not.
They didn't throw anything.
Well, so we went through the Gemara yesterday. We tried talking about they threw needles, they threw the shuttle, they threw whatever, and we said we shot all that down and said that there was no throwing in the Mishkan. The throwing is just Gemara Gemuri. Anytime you're carrying something, anytime you're transferring something, in form is Gemara Gemuri. You weren't here yesterday, Aaron, but we talked about something that Pnei Yeshua explained, that we need a pasuk, we need two psukim to tell us about the malacha of Hesah, one to establish that's malacha when you're carrying it with you, and another one to establish that's a malacha even when you're not carrying it with you, for example, Moshe, when you're just handing it to somebody else, and then once you have that, then you can say it has a tolda. If you didn't have that second pasuk, you wouldn't be able to say that Zerlis exists as a tolda. So Amar of Yosef, Ham Milsei Boilei L'Rechista. So Yosef says, you should know, Rabbah, you're not the first one to come up with this question. Rav Chista also had the same question. Upashta Niyalei Rav Amnuna Meha. And Rav Amnuna answered it on the basis of the following braisa. In that case, we're throwing something from one Rosh Hashanah Yachid to another, and it's passing through Rosh Hashanah Rabbim itself. Rabbi Akiva Machai, now focus on the words, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim itself, Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Asma. We're saying Rabbi Akiva Machai, Bacham Poitrin. So Rabbi Hamnuna says, Asma, since he doesn't just use the word Rosh Hashanah Rabbim like it did in Om Mishnah, which it said Rosh Hashanah Rabbim in the middle, he uses the expression Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Asma. So obviously they must be arguing about the case where it's below 10 tefachim, because above 10 tefachim you can't call it anymore Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Asma. In and of itself, it's a makom tur. You're going to be mechayev him, fine. You're going to be mechayev him because it's an extension of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim like they have in the Mishkan, but you can't call it Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Asma. But obviously the machlokes must be where it's below 10 tefachim. Now, we have to say, the braisa is true, does not specify how he's transferring it, whether he's passing it, or whether he's moshe it, or zodek, or what have you. So let's figure it out. Which case is the braisa talking about? What is he doing over here with this item, going from one Rosh Hashanah Yachid to another, and passing through Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? Elam of a mother, are you talking about where he's carrying it? And Hagoyt HaBach adds, in that case, you would say the Machlokas is, so why would the Chachamim say he's Potter and Rakiva say he's Chayev? Because we'd be arguing about a concept that we talked about in the first parak, whether Hanochas Gufoy Kan is Hanochas Cheset, when he stops walking, or when as he's taking his steps, he puts down his foot, is that considered like a Hanocha, and then he's doing another Akira, and then he'd be Chayev, or not? Well, that's fine, as long as one of them is from Rosh Hashanah Yachid and the next one is in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. At some point, he takes one step from one to the other, right? So at that point, he's doing an Akira and an Asa, if we say that. So therefore, if that's the reason, so what do you mean? So what do you mean? He'd be Chayev, then according to that, only if it was in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Asma within 10 Tfachim and not if it was above 10 Tfachim? Didn't Rabbi Elazar say, we learned in the previous parak, Hamoti Masu Lamaila Ma'asarach, actually the ninth parak, whatever, that Hamoti Masu Lamaila Ma'asarach, if a person carries out something on Shabbos above 10 tefachim, then he's still chayiv, Shekain Masa B'nei Kohos, because we said that's how the B'nei Kohos carried things. We talked over there about either it means they carried the Mizbeach, either we said they were very, very tall people and they carried the Mizbeach more than 10 tefachim off the ground, or we said they were normal sized people and they carried the Oren more than 10 tefachim off the ground, or we said, Right, okay, yeah. So either way, we know that carrying something above 10 tefachim, you're definitely chayev. So then in that case, the braisa would have no reason to say Rosh Hashanah Asma. El alav bezodis. Evidently, then, the braisa has to be talking about throwing. Now, again, can't be talking about moshit either, because the Chachamim agree that moshit above 10 tefachim is chayev. So it has to be talking about zodis. So obviously then the braisa is saying that according to Rabbi Akiva, he's chayev only if it was below 10 tefachim, if it was above 10 tefachim, then not, because it's makom tur. And we would say Zodik and Moshe have different rules. So that goes to show that the machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim is the first possibility that Rabbi brought up. That's a question of when it passes through Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, is it considered that it landed in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim? Rabbi Akiva says yes, the Chachamim say no. Okay, Shmami, now that proves it. In fact, the Gemara mentions in the first parak that Rabbah himself accepted this answer, that Rabbi Yosef is quoting him from Rav Hamnuna. And later on, in the first parak, you have a Gemara where Rabbah uses that as a basis to teach us another halacha. So originally he had the question, how we understand Rav Akiva versus the Chachamim. Later on, once he got the answer, then good, he accepted it, and now he can use that as a basis for teaching something new. The Gemara says, we did it, Rav Elazar. Now then, actually, this explanation disagrees with Rav Elazar. Rav Elazar has a different way of explaining the machlokes. The Amar Rav Elazar, mechayev hayu Rav Akiva afilu lemaila miyud. Actually, Rav Akiva would be mechayev you whether it was above 10 tefachim or below. So in that case, then why? So what about this braith with Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Asma? V'hai dekatoni Rosh Hashanah Rabbim Asma lohidia hakoichan d'rabbanan to tell you how far the Rabbanan go. In other words, Rav Elazar is saying that they're actually arguing on two points. They're arguing on the question of closer can be Shohuncha, but they're also arguing on the question of whether we learn Zodic from Moshe. Rabbi Akiva is going to say, in addition to the fact that closer can be Shohuncha, we're also going to say that we learn Zodic from Moshe, and therefore that means above 10 Tzvachim, he's still going to be Chayav. So then, in that case, why is the Braisa focusing on the case where he carried it, not carried it, where he threw it or whatever, in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim itself, implying below 10 Tzvachim, Lohadiyah HaKoichan, the Rabbanan, to tell you how far the Rabbanan go, that even then they pass to him, even though it's within 10 Tzvachim, and you can't say Makom Tzur anymore, because they don't hold the Kulta Kibishah Hanfah. If the Braisa had only presented the case where it's above 10 Tzvachim, you wouldn't realize that detail. You would think the Chachamim agree closer to Mishavoncha, and they're disagreeing if they say that whether Zodik and Moshe should have the same rules or not. But once it says like this, then it's clear that they're arguing on closer to Mishavoncha. But Rabbi Elazar is saying, in addition, they're also arguing on whether we learn Zodik from Moshe. Okay. The Gemara says, "Pligud de Rabchilki of Atovi." Now, what Rabbi Elazar is explaining argues with what Rabchilki of Atovi says. The Amr of Chilki, now Rashi learns that it's only Rav Elazar arguing with him. Other Rishonim learn that actually, once we learn what Rav Chilki about Tobi says, then we're going to see the possibility that maybe Rabba disagrees with him as well. Because Rav Chilki about Tobi is going to point out a further distinction, not just between above 10 and below 10 Tzvachim, but also above 3 and below 3 Tzvachim. So like this, the Amr of Chilki about Tobi. If it travels within 3 tefachim of the ground above Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, must be quite the expert pitcher to be able to throw it like that, and it goes in such a straight line across like that, within skimming the ground within 3 tefachim, maybe with a paper airplane or something, I don't know. Anyway, 3 tefachim, yeah, like that. So 1, 2, 3, yeah. So he throws it from one Rosh Hashanah Yachid to another, passing over all 16 amos of Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and then landing on the other side, and all skimming within 3 tefachim of the ground, yeah. Yeah, must be an expert. Maybe you know what? Maybe it's a drone. Maybe it's a drone. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. Okay. So if it's within 3 tefachim of the ground, divrei hakol chayev, then everybody will agree it's chayev because within 3 tefachim of the ground is lovered, as we're going to discuss in a minute, and therefore it's considered as if it landed in Rosh Hashanah. The truth is, even that is not so simple. Actually, we're going to learn later on Daf Kuf that maybe it has to actually. If it's within 3 tefachim of the ground, we're going to learn later on that quote, a possibility that maybe even then it still has to land on something, even just momentarily, in order for it to be considered landed. Let's say if it's being blown around by the wind or something, we'll get to that point later on that quote. But Chilki about Tovi is saying as long as it was within 3 tefachim of the ground, then we're good. And then he's chayev. Then he's chayev regardless, according to everybody. L'may l'mas sara divrei hakol poser. If it's above 10 tefachim, then everybody agrees it's poser. Again, not like Rabbi Elazar is saying that Rabbi Akiva would be mechayev him above 10 tefachim because he learned zodah from Moshe. If it's between 3 and 10 tefachim off the ground, that's when you have the machlokes Rabbi Akiva and the chacham. So now, he's for sure arguing with Rabbi Elazar, because Rabbi Elazar is saying that Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim are arguing above 10 and below 10. Some of the Rishonim say that also he would be arguing with Rabbah, because Rabbah didn't make any distinction between above 3 and below 3. Other Mephoshim explained to justify Rashi that, look, okay, it's true Rabbah didn't mention that detail, but he would agree within 3 Tzvachim is lovered after all. So he would agree if it's standing on the ground within 3 Tzvachim, then yeah, he's going to be Chachamim.
Okay. That goes without saying, according to
that way of looking at it, yeah, it goes without saying, according to that way. Okay. Tanya Nami Hochi, we learn, in fact, the Braisa, like the Chilki about Tobi's explanation, but first, Gibel Jibber Hakko Chayim, if it's within 3 Tfachim, everybody would agree it's Chayim. Lamai Lamidod Ene Elamishim Shavus, if it was above 10 Tfachim, it's only Osir on the grounds of a Shavus, meaning it's only Drabbanan that it's Osir. Vimhoi Rishuyas Shaloi Mutter, and if the two Rishuyas that he was transferring from one to the other, both belong to him, then it's mutter l'chatchila with the provisions that we're going to see in the Gemara in a minute. So if a person owns two houses, let's say on the two sides of the street, he would be allowed to throw something, it's not even also the Rabbanan, for him to throw something from one porch to the other porch. Of course.
Oh, well.
He has two houses that he owns on two sides of the street. Or, I mean, for that matter, it could be...
Oh, the street or the shoes, okay.
definition, yes. But even though this, yes, so if he has, he'd still be allowed to throw from one with the provision that we're going to see in the Gemara in a minute. Hold that one. No, Dirabanan also was saying allowed. Mutter means allowed even Dirabanan. Wait.
Okay. They went
well, right, but and right. So therefore, so if they belong to different people, then you have an issue Dirabanan to do it, because in general you can't take something from one person to a shoten to another. But if it belongs to one person or two people, and they made, well, in theory, two people if they made an Erev Chaseris, but really that would really that's not going to happen, because if they were cross to Rosh Hashanah Abim, you can't make an Erev Chaseris between them. The only way would be to put doors in the Rosh Hashanah Abim, and then it's not a Rosh Hashanah Abim anymore.
So he doesn't need an arrow because it's a pass on his
other hand. Right.
And there's 15 amas of shalishin in
between. No, you don't need shalish, just 16 amas. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
You just need 16,
just 16 amas. And according to Rashi, you also need 600,000 people, whatever. Yeah. Oh, wait. Okay. Yeah. Okay. So v'imhoi reshurias shaloi mutter, if both of them belong to him, then it's mutter to do that. Migimol v'anasora, and the b'raisa continues, like with Chilki, about what he says, if it's between 3 and 10 tzvachim, Rav Akiva machayev b'cham poter, and so Rav Akiva is going to say he's chayev, because it went through Rosh Hashanah Abim, and we're going to say poter k'mishohuncha, the chum are going to poter him because they don't hold poter k'mishohuncha. Okay. Omamar, now let's look at that b'raisa. Imhoi reshurias shaloi mutter. If we said if both porches or whatever, both Rosh Hashanah Yachid, belong to the same person, then he would be allowed to throw something from one to the other, meaning allowed even Dirabanan. So the Gemara says, Lematev Tziruf to Dirab. Would we have to say that this is a contradiction on Rab? The Itmar, because we have a discussion in Eruvin, Shnei Basim B'Shnei Tzidei Rosh Hashanah Abim. Suppose you have exactly that. A person has two houses on two sides of Rosh Hashanah Abim. Rab Baravuna Amar Rab also Lizrik Zemizeh. So Rab says you're not allowed to throw things one from the other. Or Shmuel Amar Mutter Lizrik Zemizeh. Shmuel says you're allowed to. The Braita is clearly saying you're allowed to. So that contradicts Rab. The answer is Belav Mi Ukim Nalahi. You should know that in the Gemara over there we establish and we explain what's the case that Rab and Shmuel are arguing about. Because when the Midli Chad and Mitati Chad, that you're talking about one porch is higher. It's higher and the other one is lower. So therefore, now you have a problem. When you're throwing things, you have to be able to throw more exactly to be able to get it to land on the other porch. So therefore, you may not do a good job. So the problem is not so much the throwing itself. The problem is the zimnin not over oscillate through it. The problem is it may fall into Rosh Hashanah Abim, and then, okay, at that point, you haven't yet done a real malacha because you didn't intend for it to fall into Rosh Hashanah Abim, so it's not malacha, it's not Shabbat. But then what's going to happen? You're going to forget it's Shabbat. You're going to go downstairs, take the thing out of Rosh Hashanah Abim, bring it back inside, and then you've done an actual malacha. So therefore, to avoid that, Rav is saying that you're not allowed to throw. But if the port, the here we're talking about, where the braisa we'll be talking about, where the porches are exactly even, so therefore it's not that hard to throw something from one to the other, and therefore there's less of a chance that it's going to fall in search of that. It's still pretty, it's still a little hard, and actually, there is actually a Gemara in Erevin, if I remember correctly, it's in the same context, that talks about that maybe you're only allowed to throw things that are breakable, so that way if it falls into Rosh Hashanah Abim, it's a goner anyway, you're not going to pick it up. Not necessarily would you be allowed to throw things that if they fall into Rosh Hashanah Abim, you might come to pick them up. I don't remember that exactly, but I remember the Gemara mentioning that distinction. I don't remember if it was in this connection. Fine. So the different versions, who said to who? Who asked who the question? Where do the Chachamim get this thing that we always say throughout Shas that less than 3 Tvachim is considered lavud? It's considered connected. By the way, Rashi defines elsewhere the word lavud literally means like extended. The word lavud comes from a word that means to extend. So that's what it means. In other words, that you extend, you consider, let's say when you have two walls within 3 Tvachim of each other, you consider as though they're extended together and the gap is closed up. Omalei, so he answers him, instead of Rav Chista answers Rav Hamnuna, or Rav Hamnuna answers Rav Chista. First he was asking him in connection with what we said before, that if the thing was skimming the ground within 3 Tvachim, then he's chayev as if it landed in Rosh Hashanah Abim. So Omalei, Lefishi'i Epshalo, Rosh Hashanah Abim, should he look at the market over the hip? Because it's impossible for Rosh Hashanah Abim to be smoothed out with a plane or with tweezers. Meaning, in other words, Rosh Hashanah Avim is never going to be exactly, it's never going to be exactly smooth. There's always going to be places, there's always going to be bumps, there's always going to be little bumps, little potholes or whatever. You can't expect it to be exactly flat. So therefore, within 3 tefachim, and there's not considered anything significant.
You're saying that today that Eastern Park like that.
So the question is, and even, the truth is, even modern suites nowadays that are paved smoothly, you still have the middle of the suite is higher than the side, so that water runs off. So you still have a difference, of within 3 tefachim from one side to the other. So you ask me, Hachik Gimel Nami, in that case, then it should not just apply if it's less than 3 tefachim. Even if it is even 3 tefachim, that should be enough, because 3 tefachim is still, the Rosh Hashanah Avim sometimes has bumps in it of 3 tefachim. But true, and furthermore, he says, that's not a good enough explanation. Hoditznan, fine, you're going to say in connection with this din of carrying things or throwing things or whatever in Rosh Hashanah Avim, you're going to say that's why there's a difference between above and between within 3 tefachim and above 3 tefachim, because Rosh Hashanah Avim is not smooth. What about what about a different din where we see that love would apply? Hoditznan, we learn in a Mishnah in Sukkah, Hamashal Shal Tfanes Milamayla Lamasa, if a person is lowering down or weaving down the walls of a Sukkah, from the top to the bottom. So Rashi describes it over here. Let's say, so he has vertical poles already set up that form the chassis framework. Now he's weaving back and forth something through it to make an Erev and have a proper wall. So he's going, he's starting from the top and working his way down. So the Mishnah says, Imhen Gvoyim in Ha'aretz Shloisha Tefachim Sula, if at the end he winds up 3 or more Tefachim above the ground that he didn't fill in, then the Sukkah is possible, implying Hapachas Megimok Shera, implying that if the bottom of the wall is within 3 tefachim of the ground, then it's kosher. Now, because gudachas, but the point is we still don't say gudachas where it's too far off the ground.
Oh, no. Gudachas is only when you have an overhang and...
That's particularly your adversation. That's something else. That's what the Gemara is going to answer. The first we're asking, if you're telling me the whole reason of Lavud is based on the idea that Rosh Hashanah Avim is not necessarily so smooth, okay, but when a person is building a sukkah in his backyard or something, then that doesn't apply. So why do we say 3 tefachim over there also? The answer is, Hosam, Hainu Taima, the reason is over there. Why 3 tefachim is a different reason. Mishum de'avil ha'mechitza shagoyim boikinva. Because the mechitza that goats can walk in underneath it, they're small creatures, all they need is 3 tefachim. So therefore, it can't be considered a mechitza if goats can freely wander in and out of it. Okay, the question is, tenach l'mata. Okay, that explains why we say lavud when you're talking about between the bottom of the wall and the ground. L'may l'may ifamema. What about, though, we know lavud also applies higher up. Rashi gives a couple of examples. You have a case in Eruvin, for example, where people are setting up a temporary, where people are camped for Shabbos, let's say. People are camping out and they in a caravan or whatever, and they set up a temporary Eruv around, they set up a temporary mechitza around their camp for Shabbos, where they set up stakes in the ground. Then they put one rope within 3 tefachim of the ground, another rope within 3 tefachim of that, another rope within 3 tefachim of that. The thickness of the ropes themselves in aggregate is over a tefach, so therefore they have a 10 tefach tall mechitza, and they're good. So there you see that we're applying lavud, even though it has nothing to do with goats going through, because goats going through would apply between the ground and the first rope. It wouldn't apply between the first rope and the second rope, or the second rope and the third rope, and we still say 3 tefachim is the maximum.
What do we need in the middle for?
Because you need a total of 10 tefachim. So you need 3 ropes. You have 10 tefachim, and you have
to each space, without a big space.
You have to have, you can't have any space be more than 3 tefachim.
You need more than 3 then.
No, you don't. So you know that the Gemara explains over there, as long as the 3 ropes together are, as long as the thickness of the 3 ropes together is a tefach, then you have, that was more than a tefach actually, then you're good.
Those are thick ropes.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, so there it's not a matter of goats passing through. Another example Rashi mentioned is a din in Hilchos Sukkah, that if you have a horizontal distance between the wall of the sukkah and the beginning of the tzach, 3 tefachim, then the sukkah is possible. So you see that over there also you're applying 3 tefachim even though it's got nothing to do with goats.
Doshan
Akuma is when you have possible tzach on the side, then up to 4 amos is good. But here we're talking about if there's open space.
They must have had goats wandering around.
I guess so. Okay, so the Gemara says Ella. No, the bottom line is like this. whole pachas mishloisha kolavu dami hilchta gemilah. The bottom line is that the halacha l'moshe b'Sinai, that whenever we have a space less than 3 tefachim, we consider it like lavud. Nothing to do with Rishas Rabbim not being smooth. Nothing to do with goat going through. It's just a given up to 3 tefachim is lavud. Beyond that is not halacha l'moshe b'Sinai. Okay, turn it up. We learn in a braisa. Now, so far we've been talking about the case where a person throws something from one Rishas Yachad to another and there's a Rishas Rabbim in the middle. And the question is he chayv or patur? Again, we have the different ways of explaining the machlokas Rabbi Akiva and the Chachamim on that subject.
Is there any kind of new plug the mice of the goat? So that's
no, well, so we're saying that we're saying when we have, for example, the walls of a sukkah, if the bottom of the wall is above 3 tefachim from the ground, then we say it's possible because G'doyim voted above. But ultimately, we're saying that the fact that we would apply that anyway is based on the halacha of Mishnah Sinai of Lavud. Yeah, it definitely has importance, but in other words, the point is the basic fact that within that 3 tefachim is lavud, that's halacha l'moshe b'Sinai. In some places, we can apply other reasons to it as well, because goats can wander in, or because Rishas Rabbim can't be exactly smooth or whatever. But the basic concept that even where those things don't apply, we still say lavud is halacha l'moshe b'Sinai. Okay, turn it up on. Now let's talk the other way around. The person throws something from one Rosh Hashanah to another, and it goes through Rosh Hashanah in the middle. So imagine you have a house built, you have a suite like Eastern Parkway, let's say, where you have a Rosh Hashanah and you have an island, and then you have the other part of the Rosh Hashanah. And then let's say on the island over there, let's say on the traffic island there, you have a house built. So therefore, if you have a person is throwing something from one Rosh Hashanah to another and passing through this house over here. So what happens? Rebbe Mechayev v'Chum Potter. Rebbe says he's Chayev, v'Chum says Potter. Now, why would Rebbe say he's Chayev? Rav Shmuel da'ami tavayu, loy chiyev Rebbe el Rosh Hashanah mekura. When is Rebbe saying he's Chayev? Only when this Rosh Hashanah has a roof over it. Da'aminan basic command of knowledge again. Then we can consider the house as though it was completely filled up. Rashi says, because a house which has a roof on it, and especially in those days, houses didn't often have a lot of windows, so therefore it's dark inside, it's full of stagnant air, so therefore it can be, you can consider the house as though it was completely full, and therefore, in effect, what you have is the thing comes in through one window, it's considered as though it stopped in there, as though all of the hevel and everything inside there stopped it, and then it kicked up and started going again to the other Rosh Hashanah, therefore he's chayav.
You know, that's important.
Even though it's the same force. Avil, and where's the Chum, would disagree. Avil she'en emakura loy, but if it doesn't have a roof, then you can't say command mal yadami. Rebbe does not hold to the concept of kota kamisha huncha that we said before that Akiva holds of. Therefore, there's nothing to be mechayev on. Okay. Omer Rav, Omer of Chana, Omer of Yehuda, Omer Shmo, mechayev hoyer Rebbe shtayim. This that we're saying that Rebbe would be mechayev him because if the building has a roof and therefore we can consider the thing as though it landed in there, Rebbe would actually make him chayev two katzorim, achas mishum hoitzav, achas mishum achnosa. One because he carried out and one because he carried in. Because he went from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Rosh Hashanah Yachid, and then from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So two different actions. Therefore, we'd be chayev two katzorim, even though, as you said, it was all the same force. So now Rav Chana said this, but then Yosef Rav Chana of Kokashale, now Rav Chana is sitting, having said this, and was wondering about this. Lememra the Machayev Rebbe Atolda Ramakam Av. Are you telling me that Rebbe would be Machayev you if you did an Av and Atolda the Helem Echad? Vahatanya, we learn it, which after all, that's what it is. We said before, Hitzah and Achnasa, we said at the beginning of the Perek yesterday that Hoitzah is the Av Malacha, because we find they did it in the Mishkan. They took things out from their tent. They brought their donations from the Mishkan to Moshe Rabbeinu, who's sitting in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, in Machna Leviya. We don't find in the Mishkan so clearly that they did Hachnasa. Therefore, we said Hachnasa is only a Tolda. Since when does Rebbe hold that if you do an Av Malacha and a Tolda of that same Av in one Helam, that you should have to bring two Chatzos? Now, no, that's bringing them in the Davos is bringing them to Moshe Rabbeinu, who is in Rosh Hashanah. After that, they hand them out to the craftsmen who are also sitting in Rosh Hashanah, as we were discussing yesterday. So you don't have where they're bringing it into Rosh Hashanah afterwards.
I wasn't here.
Yeah.
they were literally in the shoes of Rabbi Wasn't a carmelist or anything.
So the Gemara has said that, the Gemara has said, and Rashi explained, that since the whole Jewish people are always coming to Moshe Rabbeinu, therefore Machan Leviya is considered Rosh Hashanah, because according to Rashi, 600,000 people passing through to make the Rosh Hashanah. Yeah. Okay. I mean, we're not talking about the pastures inside his tent. I mean, the Jewish people are not coming into Moshe's tent, the pastures. We're talking about in the square over there, and you know. Okay. Let's go on. Okay. So Rebbe does not hold that if you do an Av and a Tulda that you chayav two chatois. Now, Tosfos says, okay, you could still construct a case where it's chayav. You have the case that we discussed earlier in the Masechta where a person did two malachas, or an av and a tolda, or whatever, found out about one, then found out about the other one, and you had a machlokas, Reb Yochanan, and Rish Lakish, whether he's chayav a separate hatas for it or not. So therefore, you could have over here also, let's say he did one act of throwing, it sailed through the palace and went out the other end. Later on, he finds out that you also move something from Rosh Hashanah into Rosh Hashanah. And then later on, he finds out also you're not allowed to move from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. But Tosfos says, fine, but if that's the case, then there's no chiddush in saying that according to Reb Yochanan, at least he's chayav two chatos. The fact that Rav Chana is quoting over here that he's mechayev two chatois implies not even though you would think he's only chayev one, nevertheless he's chayev two. But one, Rebbe himself holds that you only chayev for the exact number of malachas and no more. V'hatanya Rebbe Omer. Rebbe says, how do we know that there were 39 malachas? Because the pasuk says Eila hadvarim asher tziva Hashem. So like this, you have learned this before. Dvarim, the pasuk could have said dvarim asher tziva Hashem. Instead, it says hadvarim. And then it also, the word dvarim itself means two things, because mir rabim shnayim. Two. When it says a plural, it means two, a minimum. So dvarim means two things. Hadvarim adds another one, so that makes three. Eila hadvarim, and then it says Eila hadvarim. The word Eila is gematria 36, so 36 plus 3 equals 39. These represent the 39 malachas that Hashem told Moshe on Har Sinai. So Rebbe himself is saying that there are exactly 39 of us malachas, and that means, in other words, that, and as we've said a few times in the Masechta already, we don't need a number. We ourselves can count the Ovis malachas and see that there were 39. The reason is to tell us that that's the maximum number of chatois that a person will have to bring, so he knew that it was Shabbos. He doesn't know any, not even one malacha that it's also, and he does all 39 of them, he's going to be chayav for 39, but that means even if he did a bunch of toldas at the same time, because each one of them is going to be a tolda of one or another hour. Yeah, so we said maybe he knows Tumen, et cetera, fine. But the point is that Rebbe clearly holds that you're only chayev for a maximum number of 39. So he holds that if you do an av and a tolda together, an av and a tolda of the same av together, then you're only chayev one chata. So why would we be saying over here, why would Rav Chana be telling us that according to him, you chayev two chatas? By the way, an interesting verse that I saw in Pesher Agadza, that he says, okay, so we're learning from Eila Hadvarim like this, that it means 39. Why would the Pasuk do it in such an odd way that you have three of them separate, and then you have Eila to represent 36? Why not just give us a word that's Gematria 39 in the first place? He has an interesting little explanation that the Malachas are, they represent the Malachas are done during the 6 days of the week. They represent the six spirits of Zah that we have to work on and then be refining. And you have each one of them is kol of the other one. So 6 times 6 is 36. And then you have the three Moshin, Chochma, Bina, and Das. So that's why the three are listed out separately than the 39, than the 36. Okay. Anyway. So that's the question. You're telling me that Rebbe would be mechayev for two chatos, but why? If an av and a tulda, he should be chayev for only one chatos. Amalei Rav Yosef, so Rav Yosef tells Rav Chana, mar ahoma. Now, what it is like this: you learned the statement of Shmuel that Rebbe would be mechayev two chatos. You learned it in connection with this din that we're talking about over here. You learned it as saying that Rebbe would be mechayev in two chatos, and therefore you have the problem that Rebbe seems to be contradicting himself. The kasha the Rebbe Anan Adar of Yehuda Masnidan, we in our yeshiva, says Rabbi Yosef, we learn this statement of Shmuel as actually referring to something that Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, said, V'loi Kashalom, therefore we have no problem, because we have no particular reason to think that Rabbi Yehuda would hold the same way about Ovis and Toldus. We learned yesterday that Rabbi Yezer would say that a person is chayev for an Av and a Tolda separately. According to Rabbi Yezer, a person does an Av and a Tolda, he's chayev two separate chatois. We don't find anywhere where Rabbi Yehuda says differently, unlike Rebbe we just quoted. So therefore, yes, the Rebbe, so Rabbi Yehuda could well say that a person does Hotzah and Achnasa Behelam Achad is chayev two chatois. What is the statement of Rabbi Yehuda? The Tanya. We learn in a Braisa, Mirashas Yachad Rishas Rabin, if a person throws something from Rishas Yachad to Rishas Rabin, but over Arba Amis Rishas Rabin, and in the course of going from Rishas Yachad to Rishas Rabin, it also passed through four Amis of Rishas Rabin before it landed. Rabbi Yehuda Machai Bacham Pajin, Rabbi Yehuda says he's Chai Bacham says Pasir. So we see, therefore, that the, in the airspace, above 10 Tfachim, below 10 Tfachim, subject to what we said on Amar Aleph, but the point is, in other words, that he threw it from one Rishus to another, which of course makes him chayev already, and then in addition, before it landed in Rishus Rabin, it traveled 4 Amos or more through the airspace of Rishus Rabin. So now, so Rabbi Yehuda says he's chayev. Amr of Yehuda, now why the Chacham says he's potter, we're going to get to soon, but Amr of Yehuda, Amr Shmuel, Machayev, Hori of Yehuda, Shnayim. That actually, here's where Rabbi Yehuda says in the name of Shmuel, that Rabbi Yehuda would make him Chayev two chatois, Achas Meshom Hoitzah, Ba'achas Meshom Ha'avara. One because he carried out from one Rishus to another, and another one because he passed it through the air, because he passed it through 4 Amos of Rishus Rabin.
That's why he's a Chayev.
The point is, no, there's the fact that he went from one Rishus to another. That doesn't matter even if it was less than 4 Amos, even if it was just a fraction of an Amma, that itself is Chayiv. Plus, Rabbi Yehuda is also being Mechayiv him for the fact that it went 4 Amos in Rishus Rabin. As we said yesterday, the Baal Amor says that why tackle would a person be Chayiv carrying 4 Amos in Rishus Rabin? Because 4 Amos is considered a person's mocking. You have, for example, you can be cloning things in a side street or whatever in his 4 Amos. So therefore, 4 Amos is considered Mekoyim Shalodim, and therefore, in effect, he's taking it out from his own mockum to someplace else. So Rabbi Yehuda is Mechayivim, and here is where Rabbi Yehuda, the Amora, says in the name of Shmuel, Mechayiv, Hoy Rabbi Yehuda Shtayim, that Rabbi Yehuda, the Tana, would actually be Mechayivim two Chatois, Achaz Meshom Haitzah, Va'achaz Meshom Ha'avala. One because he carried out from one Rishos to another, and another one because he carried it 4 Amos in Rishos Rabbah.
So we said that
Haitzah was definitely Malacha in the Mishkan. Ha'avara, we said, we mentioned from the Pnei Yeshua yesterday that we have two psukim. One teaches us when you're carrying something with you. One teaches us that you're chayiv even when you're not carrying it. You're passing it over to somebody else. And once we do that, then we said it's throwing the tolda of that. But both of those are parts of the Malacha of Haitzah. Because otherwise it has to be that way, that when Rabbi Yehuda says Mechayev, it means Mechayev two chatois, and when Chum says poster him, it doesn't mean that they pater him completely, it just means they pater him from one chatos, because the Isapadaidach, if you're going to say Rabbi Yehuda is Mechayev from one chatos, what do you mean? The Klal Rabbanan Patur Legamri? What do you mean? And the Rabbanan are going to say he's completely Potter? Why should he be completely Potter? He did, after all, move it from Rishas Yochad to Rishas Rabin. That itself is reason enough to be Mechayiv him, forgetting about the 4 Amos business. So obviously, therefore, it must be that the Chachamim agree he is Chayiv Achatas. And Rabbi Yehuda is just saying, you Chachamim say he's only Chayiv one Achatas. I say he's Chayiv two. The Chachamim don't agree with Kut, so fine. But the fact is, it landed in Rishas Rabin eventually. So you see, therefore, that Rabbi Yehuda can be Mechayev on a Tolda and an Av, even though they were done by Hela Mechad, whereas a Chamana. So therefore, Rabbi Yosef says, there's no problem, therefore, of saying that Rabbi Yehuda holds that, because we don't elsewhere find that Rabbi Yehuda says anything different, as opposed to, was Rebbe, Rav Chana had his question, because Rebbe himself clearly implies that you're not Chayev for an Av, and a Tolda at the same time. Okay. The Gemara says, no, me my. Who says that that's the correct explanation? Maybe indeed I'll tell you that Rabbi Yehuda actually means that he's chayev only one chatas, but Rabbanan patri lagamri, you're going to say that the Rabbanan do actually patri him completely and say that he's not chayev any chatas.
I, why should he not be chayav akasa? Because it went from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah. The heichin mashkacha flaw, because what would be the scenario to go into Omer ad the nafkele Rosh Hashanah tanuach? Suppose that he thinks that if he thinks that I want it to land, or I want it to land as soon as it gets into Rosh Hashanah, and instead in the end it wound up traveling for Amos. So now the machlokes would be over Hakamus. If you did a Yehuda Savra Aminin Klutik Kmishoncha, so the Yehuda would say again, as we said on Amar Aleph, Klutik Kmishoncha, Veisavida Leimachshavtoi. Therefore, his machshava got accomplished. He wanted to throw it, and it would land immediately in Rosh Hashanah, and it did. It's considered lahalacha as though it landed immediately in Rosh Hashanah, even though physically it actually went further. But Klutik Kmishoncha allows it to consider as if it landed right away in Rosh Hashanah. But Ramban actually has a different explanation of it. He says that what it means when the person says ad nafkele Rosh Hashanah tanuach is he wants it to be considered that it landed. He wants it to be considered lahalacha as landed, not physically landed, but considered lahalacha as landed as soon as it comes into Rosh Hashanah. So Rabbi Yehuda would say, okay, well, that got accomplished because Klutik Kmishoncha. But Rabbanan Savi Lerman, Klutik Kmishoncha, the Rabbanan would say that not, therefore, V'lo Yisavid Alei Machshavtoi. Therefore, his Machshava didn't get accomplished because it ended up traveling further. So therefore, it's not Melechat Machshava. Avala told the Remachim Avala and Mechayiv Rabbi Yehuda. But you would say, would Rabbi Yehuda say, when it comes in general to an Av and a Tolda, you're thinking that Rabbi Yehuda is saying in general you do an Av and a Tolda together, you can be Chayiv two Chatois? Not necessarily. This is a special case because of what he had in mind and because whether we say Kulta Kamisho and Chalana. Okay. The Gemara says, though, no, Loi Sakadai, you can't think that way. It has to necessarily be that Rabbi Yehuda would be mechayiv you on an av and a tolda together. The Tanya, because we learn in a braisa, where we listed the 39 malachas, Rabbi Yehuda moisif af a shovet v'hamedakit. Rabbi Yehuda also adds two more, shovet and medakit. Shovet is, we said, once the shefi threads are stretched out and put on the loom over there, you use a stick to bang on them gently and make sure that they untangle them, make sure that they all lie parallel or whatever, that's called shovet. And then you have, as you're weaving, every so often you have to use a certain tool to make sure that the area of thread is evenly stretched out. It's not too stretched out in some places and not stretched out enough. In other words, then the cloth will come out uneven. Make sure that it binds well with the rest of it. Sometimes also you have, Rashi brings another explanation, that sometimes also as you're weaving, sometimes threads get a little bit tangled together, some of the shefty threads, and you use the same stick over there to bang on them. So the difference is, one is before you set up, one is before you start the weaving, and one is during the weaving. Anyway, so if you heard to add those as malachas, omruloi, and the Chum told them, no, those are not separate malachas, shovet harayu b'chlam meisach, shovet is part of the malacha of meisach, is part of the av malacha of meisach, of setting up a loom, medaktik harayu b'chlam oiri, and medaktik, working on the eiro to get it properly in place, or to get the shesim thread untangled or whatever, is part of oiri, is part of the malacha of weaving. Now, what does that mean? My love, the Abdinu Tavayu Bahadi Adabi. The Pashtus, we have to be talking about that he actually did the both of them together. Let's say that he did. So he did the various malachas of weaving, and he did shovet, and he did medaktik, and so apparently the Gemara is assuming Rabbi Yehuda is not actually considering them separate of his malachas, but he's saying if a person is weaving, so he's doing the actual job of setting up the loom, which is the malacha of mesa. Then he does shrevet to make the threads all straighten out. Then he starts weaving and add, which is the malacha of urim. And then during the weaving, he does medaktik. Then Rabbi Yehuda is going to be mechayiv him four chatois. Why? Because you have two of us and they're two tolders. So you see that he's mechayev on an av and a tolda together. The Gemara says, no, mimai, who says that's correct? Maybe what Rabbi Yehuda means is he only did shovet, or he only did medaktik, but Rabbi Yehuda told him makom av and mechayev. Rabbi Yehuda is not in fact saying mechayev if he did an av and a tolda together. So if he set up the loom and then did shovet, then Rabbi Yehuda is not going to be mechayev in two chatois. And it's just a v'hokam mitzvah that Rabbi Yehuda sabahani avos minu v'rabbanan sabrihani tolda minu. It's just a machlokas. Are there 39 avos malachas or are there 41 avos malachas? So Rabbi Yehuda would say there are 41. He doesn't hold of the drashas we said before. So he would say there are two more avos malachas, whereas the chachamim are disagreeing with him. We said it's a drasha. Well, we said it's a drasha from Eilat Dvarim. We have different other drashas. The number of times it says malacha in the Torah we learned previously. But whatever. It doesn't say clearly in the Torah. 39. Yes. So Rabbi Yehuda. So according to that, Rabbi Yehuda could disagree with that. By the way, Tosfos points out that even according to Rabbi Yehuda, you could still say you still have the question of hasra. But part of the question would also be what's the hasra. If he agrees that they're tolders and they're just arguing that Avos Mamakim tolders, then still, if he does shovet, you have to tell him you're doing. You can't tell him you're doing the malacha of shovet. You have to tell him you're doing the malacha of mesa. But if it's considered a separate av malacha, you can tell him you're doing the malacha of shovet. So that can be the machlokes. Teda, and in fact, you can prove that because Tanya Rabbi Yehuda Moisif, because the Braiser uses the expression that Rabbi Yehuda adds. Iam at the Shleima Avos. If you're saying that he's adding that he says that they're separate others, mine most of others. So then it would mean that he's adding others. He's saying that Chachamim are saying that there are 39 others. I'm telling you there are actually two more to add to the list. So that would be what that means. Eliyam told us, but if you're gonna say that he's only adding them as told us, mine most, then what would be the line Moisif? Moisif doesn't, I mean every Malacha has told us. There'd be no reason to say Moisif. You would say that Rabbi Yehuda and Machayev him separately. So obviously, that shows that it's not a question. Rabbi Yehuda does hold, like the Chachamim, that if he does an Av and a Tolda together, he's only chayav one chassah, an Av and a Tolda of the same Av. But he just holds that there are 41 of us malachas rather than 39. Itzmar Nami, Rabbi Rabbi Yosef David Savai, Lechiyav Rabbi Yehuda El Achas. So Yehuda is in fact only chayav in one chassah, not like Shmuel said that he would chayav in two. Why? Because the fact of the matter is it's an av and a tolda, and Rabbi Yehuda is not mechayvim for an av and a tolda where they're done behelamet. Okay, so to finish off, Amalei Ravina L'Ravashi, Ulamai B'Solik Adaitin Me'ikra, the mechayv hoy Rabbi Yehuda Shtayim. Okay, let's go back to our original assumption. Shmuel had said that Rabbi Yehuda would be mechayvim two chatos, because we assume he would be mechayv for an av and a tolda together, which we just shot down. But, why should he be chayv anyway? What do you mean? He either wanted to land here or there. He either wanted to land here and not there, or the other way around. In other words, what are you considering? Are you considering that he wanted it to travel four amas? Then in that case, according to the Yehuda, Chlusa can be Shohon Chayim, considered as if it landed as soon as it came into the Shafarabim. And if he wanted it to land right away, then it went further than he wanted to, and that's not then either way it's not malachas machshavas. Amalei, so he answers him. The case could be the person says, I don't care where it lands, I just want it to get into the shabbos. I don't care whether it lands right away or after 4 hours or what have you. Then he's going to be chayv regardless of where it lands. But yes, if he had in mind a particular spot, then actually we're going to talk tomorrow. That's the shem. We're going to talk about the question, the next piece of Gemara about what happened. The person intended to throw a certain distance and threw a certain other distance. Okay.
Yeah.